In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I'm going to speak briefly about the gospel message today because I've taken up so much time with the announcements. And you hear this every year, as do I. There are things that attenuate. Attenuation means drawing out thin. You attenuate your own control and you attenuate your own being when you have something that makes you vulnerable to a thief or to a moth or to rust. Have you ever seen somebody with a nice car? They have this thing, if you know anybody with a Porsche, it's called Porsche paranoia. They can't park it anywhere. They might get a door ding. Somebody might chip the paint. A lot of them will take this beautiful car with this beautiful paint job and they'll put what they call as a bra, a car bra. It's a vinyl piece to keep the paint on the nose of the car from being chipped because of things that might be on the roadway that the rear tires of cars in front of them will be throwing up. But it has the effect of making the beautiful paint job ugly. So you always wonder, where is the intelligence? Because is the paint chip on the nose of the car going to be more noticeable than that big piece of vinyl that you hung off on the front? But there's a real paranoia because it's an expensive item and it attenuates. It attenuates the integrity of the individual. Why? Because there's worry that accompanies it. There's always worry. The Lord says, do not strive for things. You know, You don't put these two words together very often, but it is strife, S-T-R-I-F-E, with S-T-R-I-V-E. People think, well, I'm striving for something. I'm in a creative act and I'm pushing towards something in a positive way to reach a goal. But sometimes you don't reach that goal, and all you have is strife. All you have is the war. All you have is the struggle. And the war that is inside you and the damage that is done because of your struggle to obtain a goal that maybe you failed to attain. Or if you attain the goal that somebody might have hurt. Now, you can say that we as a church will be attenuated if we get anything nice in the church, because we have to teach our children the proper relationship to things that are beautiful and cost a lot of money. Whereas if we just had a tent, if all we had was a tent and a table and a corsi and a paten and a mystere and a cask, if we only had those things, I guess you could say, well, they could burn down the tent with candles. But the attenuation, the drawing out would be less. When you have more things, you worry about more things. Did you hear about the woman that won the Powerball thing and she doesn't want to have her name mentioned because she's worried about all of the people that are going to solicit donations from her? But there's another thing. The first thing that she did was she got a lawyer to put her money in trust because she's worried about her money. The money that she doesn't even have yet, she's worried about when she gets it. Do you understand? She's got this big possession now. It's, I don't know, $250 million or something giant. It's a huge amount of money. But she's now worried about it. When she didn't have it, she didn't worry about it, did she? Which is the better condition for you to be in mentally? When you have a lot of things, guess what? The things attenuate you. It draws you out from yourself. You're looking here, you're looking there. My grandson Joshua has friends with him today, Micah and Jojo. and they haven't been together for about a year. And I don't remember if it was Micah or Jojo who said last night when we were putting them to bed that they didn't worry about sleeping alone because in their house they have an alarm. Do you have an alarm in your house that you turn on when you go to bed at night? Why? Because you're attenuated. You're drawn out. You're afraid. If you have a crummy little house, nobody's going to break into that house. I used to have a Volkswagen Bug. I used to carry no less than $5,000 cash in that Bug, in $100 bills. It was underneath the floor mat on the passenger side. Now, this is a long time ago, I wish to tell you. This is 1978. So I have at least $5,000 ready to time. I remember one time I got pulled over by the police because I hadn't paid a parking ticket and they were going to take me in. And I knew I had to pay the bond right away. So I reached under the floor mat and I grabbed about $1,000, and the cop's eyes mushroomed to the size of watermelons. He's looking at all that money and he's saying, "Here's a drug dealer. I've got a drug dealer on my hands." So he went through the Volkswagen with a fine-tooth comb. This Volkswagen could have been opened with a plastic fork. It had wind wings. All you had to do was just move the little thing up through the side where the rubber is, then reach your hand down and open up the door. There was no security, but it looked so bad. The car itself wasn't worth $1,000. Nobody's going to put $5,000 cash in a $1,000 car. It was completely safe. Completely safe. Who can tell you the truth of what I'm telling you? Abuna Shanuda Gatas. He one time was going to Egypt and he asked me for a donation, and I reached under the the mat where you rest your feet and pulled out a few hundred and gave it to him to take to the poor in Egypt. This was in front of St. Mark's church at the time. I'm saying these things to you because when you have something that you're, maybe it's your child. Maybe before, when you didn't have a child, you didn't worry. You didn't worry. But once you have a child, oh my gosh, you worry about that child all the time. I'm worried right now that Gio is going to cough so much in Joshua's face that he's going to get sick, and his grandmother is sitting behind him just waiting and watching like she's going to prevent the germ somehow by her eyesight. But we worry about these things, and the Lord is saying, I have a way to show you how to live, but it means that you do not worry. God clothed the field. He made the field beautiful. He said that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed as the field is. That sooner or later it's inevitable. It's inevitable that someone who does not have what you possess will look at it longingly. They will say, I want what that person has. Maybe it's their beauty. Maybe it's their money. Maybe it's some possession. But they will look at whatever it is longingly. Well, that person then is a threat to somebody who thinks in that fashion. But if you think, the Lord gave this to me, if the Lord takes it away, okay, because in another season it will come again. The lilies don't stay in the field. They wither and dry, and then they're absent. And then the field itself may dry, and it may look like just stubble, not even decent looking grass. Remember where the place where the Lord had the multitude sit down before he fed them? He said there was a lot of grass in that place, and he said, make them sit in groups of 50. There was grass. It was beautiful. But that verdance, that green beauty, isn't there all year round. Sometimes there's an ebb and flow to life. So today you're living, as the kids say, you're living fat. You're living large. it may be a time of winnowing that comes later when you are pared down, where you have to learn to run lean and mean, where things then are coming more with more effort. Well, but they will come. They will come. Don't strive. Don't make that your goal. You know, the Lord says, if your eye is filled with darkness, how great is that darkness that fills the entire body? He said the light of the eye should be a lamp for the whole body. So that means that you have to use your will and your spiritual bearing to look at the things that are really important. I can't begin to tell you how many people are fascinated by these people that get on TV and sing. They've got a bunch of programs, whether in Britain or in America, and they're singing, and everybody's going, oh, will this singer be the next one? Will this singer be the... Are you kidding? Who was the winner 3 years ago? 3 years ago. The lilies will be in the field at a certain season, and at another season, the lilies will not be in the field. These things are like fireworks. They go up and they explode, and you see their beauty. And what did the poet say? There is nothing so sad as fireworks. It's like the human life that goes up and bursts, and everybody goes, wow. And then there's nothing. Think about all of the people that you know of, that you have heard of because of their celebrity, who have ended so very, very badly. When they had most of the things that normal people desire for themselves. Their beauty, their prominence, their wealth, their access and mobility in the world. You can't love God and the world, it says. And it's true. But let me say this. Wealth comes to some people. Was Solomon rich? Boy, was he rich. He ended up very badly. Solomon ended up very badly. The one who composed the Proverbs, the one whose songs were sung, he ended up very badly. There was Job. Job was extremely wealthy. The difference between the two was that both of them had wealth, but only one of them was possessed by the wealth. When you are possessed by anything, you are a slave. A slave. You maybe know Toni Morrison. She's an African-American woman. She won a Nobel Prize for Literature. It wasn't until her last book that she found out, you know what? In the colonies, there were, in the beginning, as many white slaves as there were black slaves. Yeah, they were the poor of England, and they went over as indentured servants, slaves. You see, because you can become a slave to anything. It's not an institution that Jesus Christ is decrying. He's decrying your soul being taken away by something other than the one who created it. Who is your true love? Money? Health? Have you been watching the Olympics? There are people who have been losing races by thousandths of a second. Can you imagine sweating year after year, struggling the same as somebody else, and when the event comes, you lose by 0.05 of a second? I saw that race by myself. It was speed skating. 0.05 of a second for a medal. Yeah. How does that person answer himself? How does he say, was it all worth it? You know, somebody said this before, fourth place is the worst place you can possibly be in the Olympic Games. Because you were going to say to yourself, oh, until the next one comes around if you're able to compete. What did I do? What could I have done? Oh my God, I shouldn't have had those donuts. Oh my God, I shouldn't have not done that extra regime that my coach set for me. Questioning and questioning, questioning. Because the life was put onto something where the thief can come in and destroy, the rust can corrode and wear, the moth will create destruction. It's really tough. It's really tough when your whole body is filled with darkness because your eye is focused on things that are dark. There's so much to talk about, and I said I'd be short. Of course, it's really hard for me to be short. But I want to say simply in conclusion, riches are not the problem. It's being possessed by the riches. I hope all of you become millionaires, but I hope with every dollar that you earn, you also earn the ability to give it away freely. Abuna Lua Sidros told me this story a long time ago. There was a man that came to him in Egypt. He was a poor man without an education, and he had no real occupation. He was more like a day laborer. And he brought him a sack, like a big sack. I'm gesticulating, so for the people who are listening to this or will listen to this, a large sack of money. And he said, can you do something with this? And Abuna said, well, what do you want me to do with it? I don't know, build a church. There was this man, and he was so poor that he depended partially upon the loaves of bread he would take away from church to feed his family every day. But when he was walking home, if he saw somebody that was poor, he would give from what he had to that person. There was a childless couple that were very wealthy, and when they died, they had no one to whom they would bequeath their money and their apartment building. They gave it to this man. What did he do? He put families in the apartment building without charging them rent. He took an apartment and he gave the rest of the apartments away. People heard about this and gave him more apartment buildings. They gave him more money. And after a time, the money was coming in so fast, he couldn't give it away fast enough. So he went to the priest and he gave the priest the money. He said, maybe you can give it away faster than I've been able to. Now, this is a story that, you know, some of you will find apocryphal, but I believe it. I know other stories too. They're not necessarily going to add more than that one. But the point is that if you are not possessed by the wealth, if you are not possessed by it, then wealth is okay. If you're not possessed by your car, well, the car is okay. If you want a boat or a plane, I'm with you. Just give me a ticket. Share. But if you're possessed even by the way your face looks, and you're putting on the rouge and the eyeshadow and thickening the eyelashes and plucking the eyebrows and doing all these things, men, not talking to the women right now, the men, yeah, it's better somebody punches you in the face and leaves you with a scar We should not be in a contest between things and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's merely all. To love Him first, last, and otherwise. Glory be to His holy name, both now and ever, in the age of all ages. Amen.